chapter 11, just a few verses. Begin in verse 28, please. Something most of us are familiar with, we've heard this many times, but I feel this is what the Lord laid on my heart this morning. Matthew 11, beginning in verse 28. Jesus speaking, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and I am lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We need to read that one more time. Jesus is inviting you. He's inviting me. He's inviting the live stream audience this morning. And the invitation is clear. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and I am lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Hallelujah. The great invitation this morning, and if we could just name this message, give it a name, we're going to call it "Come Unto Me." It's all about Him. There's no other place to go but Jesus. When you and I don't have answers for life, when you and I don't know which way to go, when we don't know which way to turn, when life weighs us down to the point we don't know what step to go, the answer is always the same. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Amen. Hallelujah. The message again this morning, come unto me. Let's go to prayer. Father, again, as we are thankful to be in your house this morning, and we're asking you to bless your word, O God. But before you do that, we're asking you to touch those who are suffering infirmity this morning, part of our congregation in this work. We think of Ken Zimmerman in the hospital, Lord, and we just pray the procedure went well, Lord Jesus. And we pray, give him strength and the doctor's wisdom and insight. We pray for Mary Davis this morning. Lord, that you bring a complete recovery, a complete healing from the effects of the surgery, Lord. And we pray they got all the cancer, Lord, that it never return in Jesus' name. And Lord, have your way this morning, and those that may even be in the valley of decision, God, that you would lead every life, every heart, and direct our steps, O God. And Father, have your way in this house, this congregation. Have your way in the live stream audience this morning. Give them their portion in the children's church. Remember them downstairs, Lord. Be with the teachers, be with the children, and anoint them heavily in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. And amen. I've been reminiscing quite a bit this week, kind of going over my whole salvation experience. Having known Jesus Christ for 30 years, I think back to those days where I can look back now and realize the preparation of my heart that he was allowing me to go through that was preparing me to receive him. You know, this whole thing with salvation, it's just not you and I just making a decision. And I've heard that through my whole Christian experience. I made a decision for Christ today. Well, that's half truth. You did. But the Bible says you didn't come to him first. He came to you. Amen. And I think there's a lot of people that, in a sense, have made decisions. But I'm seeing a contrast in many that claim the name of Jesus versus those that are truly born again, been saved, been had an experience with Jesus Christ, has received him and fallen upon him by faith, amen? And what a difference between them and those that have what you call make a decision, amen? And as I was reminiscing over my own personal experience, how I came to Jesus, or how he came to me, really, I think about what I come out of. You know, Isaiah says it this way, "Remember the rock from which you were hewn, the pit from which you were digged." And my God, I came out of a pit, the pit of life. I mean, life was the pits, amen. And things weren't going well in my life. You see, I had made a willful rejection of the gospel at the age of 15, and I didn't come to Jesus until I was about 25 years old. I had religion. I had the concept of Christianity. I did believe in God in a sense. I believed Jesus was the Savior of the world, but yet that never really penetrated my heart to the point where it changed me, amen. I could honestly say I was not born again until I was 25 years old, having been brought up in a Christian environment somewhat, amen. But looking over that whole experience, I think about how he knocked at my heart's door in Bender's Tavern on a Friday night in the fall of 1984, how just everything crumbling in my life and in my heart, and God had orchestrated that, brought me low, brought me to the point where I would finally start looking up and start looking to him. He had been dealing with my heart. I can look back and understand it now. At the time, I didn't. But looking back, I understand that all that preparation, everything that God was doing, God was preparing me to receive Jesus Christ. Amen? And friend, my story is just like your story. I'm not telling you nothing that you haven't personally somewhat experienced yourself. And maybe we've all come to Jesus in a little different way. But thank God, he got a hold of our heart. Thank God, we got saved. We were born again. And I remember those early days at the Fond du Lac Gospel Tabernacle as the Lord dealt with my heart to go to that church. I mean, I didn't know where to go, but God, by his Spirit, began to put that in my heart, and I knew where to go. One of those church, those Pentecostal churches where they would lift their hands and praise the Lord, and they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance, and they were preaching the simple message of Jesus Christ, and Jesus saves, Jesus heals, and Jesus delivers. And what they were seeing in that time was just incredible. I remember being in those services in my first 2-3 years of my salvation experience. And it was like a wave of a move of God. And there was hardly a Sunday for almost a year that a family or an individual or a couple would come to that altar at the end of the service and receive Jesus Christ. It was just a sovereign move of the Lord. And having gone back to that church some 15 years later, many of those people that I saw give their heart to Jesus were still saved, still loving God, still serving the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. He was moving in the land. He was moving. Hallelujah. You know, and that's what we're longing for again in the Church of Jesus Christ. For God again to visit the unsaved and visit people and begin to draw them to Christ and bring them to true salvation. Not that they have a concept of religion, but they have the substance. They have the Savior. They have Jesus. Amen? And this is what this has always been about. This is about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. And this is where our text goes. Come ye unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I remember the rest that I felt, the burden of sin taken off my shoulders when I had repented and asked Christ into my heart. And you say, how did I know to do that? Somebody, through the course of history, my history, there was a lady that worked as a secretary at the Yamaha dealership I worked at in Fond du Lac for a few years. She was one of those born-again ones. And in spite of that, she told me one time, and I would tell her, oh, my religion is as good as yours, and she would say, well, Jeff, you got to ask Jesus Christ into your heart. You got to accept him as Lord and Savior. And I'm thinking, I'm brought up in this. What are you telling me? You know, I've been baptized into this thing. And, you know, and that's my understanding of it all. But she was different because she had the Lord. Amen. And I didn't, because my life was very profane, very wicked. Amen. Prior to my coming to Jesus Christ. And friend, I'm here to say Jesus does change lives. Jesus changes lives. Amen. And when you're saved, you're born of God. And there's a desire for him. And there's a desire for the things of God. Amen. You know, and you would think, well, am I preaching to the choir this morning? But you know, I don't take nobody's salvation for granted. God wants you to have an experience with the Savior, Jesus. He doesn't want you to just be raised in it and just cloak yourself with Jesus because that's what you're supposed to do. He wants every individual to come to know Jesus personally, amen? Come ye unto me and I will give you rest, hallelujah. And that's the call of God this morning, is that God will call your heart to himself. Friend, you're not getting out of this life alive without your hand in that nail-scarred hand called Jesus Christ. You will die lost in religion, but you will live forever if you've embraced him, if you came to him. Jesus didn't say, come unto the church and I will give you rest. He didn't even say, come unto promised land and I will give you rest. He didn't say, come unto the preacher and I will give you rest. Come unto the denomination and I will give you rest. Come unto a concept, a philosophy of Christianity, and I'll give you rest. No, it's come unto me, and I will give you rest. I've said it 1,000 times. I'll say it 1,001 times. Some of us have an issue with Jesus Christ, the very one who loved you and died for you. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. That's what Jesus told Paul. You need to come to Jesus and put the religion aside. You need to come to Jesus and put the denominationalism aside. You need to come to Jesus and put your church history aside. You need to come to Him. You need to come to Him. You need to come to Him. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. And I found rest 30 years ago. And I've been serving Him ever since, and I've loved Him ever since. Oh, I've stumbled along the way. I've not walked this thing out perfect, but I had come unto Him, and He took the burden of sin off my shoulders. Amen. And changed me. Amen. You know, and I've had no desire for that bar stool anymore since. The profanity left. Amen. He filled me with His Spirit, called me into the ministry to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, all because I came unto Him. Amen. People are searching today. People are looking. People are church hopping. But you know what they're really looking for? Jesus Christ. They're looking for Jesus. You know, there's an old song, looking for love in all the wrong places. People are looking for Jesus in all the wrong places. Amen. You know where you'll find Him? You'll find Him knocking at your heart's door. Amen. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. We look at this a little bit. You know, like I said, reminiscing over the last 30 years, I've been just feeling a little sentimental about this whole thing, and I just think how amazed I am that He would touch my life and call me and save me, man, save me out of sin. He didn't have to do that. But this is what He's doing in the world. You know, Jesus is a living Savior. We don't come to a concept of Christianity. We come to the Savior, the one who was risen from the dead, who is alive forevermore, seated at the right hand of God and makes intercession for you and I and for all those who love Him. Amen. The great invitation is still open. Come unto me. As we look at that, come unto me. You know, it's like the old song, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling to you and to me. He's still calling us. He's still calling you. He's still calling us to His heart. And when He said, come unto me, He said, all who are heavy laden, all you that labor. He's referring to those who are trying to be saved through what they do, trying to approach God through merit, through good behavior. And friend, you can't reach God that way. We have to come to God through His provision. It's not what we can do, it's what He's already done. And He has finished the work. He provides the righteousness you and I need. Amen. And that's what Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. What's He talking about? All those trying to approach God through law and ritual and works and religion. My God, I'll tell you what, I've never known the liberty I've known today until I found Jesus and Him crucified. Hallelujah. Because it's a complete provision. In Him, you are complete. In Him, you are complete. Not in your church life, not in your works life, but in faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said, I will give you rest. It's only by faith in the cross and that finished work that we find rest. Amen. It says we're to labor to enter that rest. And he that has entered his rest has ceased from his own labors. Amen. Thank God this morning. He's provided everything we need. We rest in that. So those of you that are struggling, that are trying to figure it all out, that are trying to make life happen, that can't understand what's going on, listen, if you can rest in Him, it's all provided. It's a finished work. Come ye unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Do you know Jesus was the carpenter? But as a carpenter, He made plow yokes. We always see Jesus in the pictures and all the cartoons building a house. He didn't build houses. Back then, they'd take a big wooden beam and they'd carve it out that they could put two yoke of oxen together and pull a plow or some kind of farm implement.
Amen?
Jesus would say, now take my yoke upon you. He built plow yokes. That's what Joseph, his father, probably did too. And he would bring that beam and carve it out, and that thing was heavy. But his yoke is not heavy. His burden is light. Why? Because it's not based on what you and I can do. It's based upon what you and I will believe. What we will believe. Amen. Hallelujah. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. Learn of what he accomplished at the cross. Oh, we get hit with that so often. You always preach the cross. It's always about the cross. It's always about the cross. It's always about the cross, the finished work. I don't know what you want to label it, the finished work, the cross, the atoning work, the atonement. What do you want to label it? The cross is the event. Learn of me. I'm still learning about that finished work. I love learning about that finished work because it is a finished work. Amen? And if I will believe in that finished work and believe what the Savior did for me there, I enter rest. And I find His strength, His grace, His mercy, His power, His help, His hope, His goodness, hallelujah, all through that cross. I find victory over sin. Sin is not reigning in my life like it used to. Amen. I will stumble and have a sin problem here and there, but that's a vast difference between letting sin rule my heart. Amen. Anger isn't ruling my life. Malice isn't ruling my life. Pride and arrogancy isn't destroying my life. Lust and greed and a desire for the carnal things of life isn't reigning in my life. Amen. I have found a victory. Hallelujah. Religion isn't running and ruining my life. I have found the grace of God through the cross and the victory of the cross. Hallelujah. All because of the one that I came to 30 years ago and what he did at the cross for me and for you. Hallelujah. Oh, hear me this morning. I know we just have a handful of people here today, but the message is eternal. It is eternal this morning. This is the heart of the gospel. Come unto Jesus. And friend, this is what some of us need even in this house. I ask you, have you really come to Jesus Christ? Do you know Him? Are you born again? Are we truly born of the Spirit? Because if we are, we'll be kindred in spirit. We won't be of another spirit. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Amen? There's only one Holy Spirit. There's only one mind of Christ. There's only one will of God. Amen? There's only one Savior, one sacrifice, one atoning work. There's only been one event at the cross of Calvary that God the Father has accepted, and that is when His Son hung there and took upon Him your my judgment. And He swallowed up death, and God raised Him from the dead, gave Him His life back. And whosoever believeth in Him shall live forever and have eternal life. Amen. And not only a new life or a life in the eternal plan of God, but a new life now. Amen. Amen. Come ye unto me, and I will give you rest, Jesus said. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Hallelujah. That's His words. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Do you realize that's the only description Jesus really gave of Himself? I am meek and lowly in heart. You know what that tells us? He's easy to come to. A meek and lowly person is approachable. He'll never have an attitude. He'll never have a scorn. He'll never have a chip on his shoulder. He'll never be too busy for you and for me. He'll never have an attitude. You'll never feel undercurrents with him. You ever feel undercurrents with people? I hate that. I just hate that. But it's part of human life. Amen? Undercurrents. Undercurrents. What's undercurrents? The things that aren't said, but you know something's going on. Amen. It's browbeating, you know. It's the look. It's the attitude. It's the, even though they're not saying nothing. Amen? Jesus wasn't like that at all. I am meek and lowly in heart. That was his description of himself. Religion makes it hard to come to God because they make you jump through 30 hoops. Amen? But Jesus said, just come to me and it's done. Just come to me. I am meek and I am lowly in heart. Do you know if Jesus would walk in here physically today, he'd be the most approachable person in this body this morning. Yeah. Well, if he was here, sinners couldn't stand it. Well, if they couldn't stand it, it'd be because their heart is melting because this one loves them in spite of them. Amen. Hallelujah. Come unto me, Jesus said. Come unto me. I am meek and I am lowly in heart, and you should find rest for your souls. Paul said it this way, Lord, let me be found in Jesus. Let me be found in him, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The easy yoke is simply this. You don't have to earn anything with him. You believe what's already been done by faith. It's already been done by faith. Have you accepted him? Have you come unto him? Listen. I love what Pastor Balkan used to say. He said, life is too big for me. It is so big that I have to depend on Jesus Christ every day. Some of you, you're carrying burdens you're not meant to carry. You're carrying the burden of family, of marriage, of finances, of health. You're carrying the burden of sin. Bring it to him, for he careth for you. He careth for you. He wants to take your yoke by putting on his yoke, and he'll carry it. Amen. You know, the sad part of all this in this simple message, you know, there's just too many who claim him, but the Word of God says, and this is where I want to go into just a few minutes, there's a lot of people claiming Jesus Christ. The Word of God says, the Lord knows them that are his, but therefore let every man that come to Jesus depart from iniquity. There's many that claim Jesus Christ, but the question is, has Jesus claimed them? Again, making the distinction between making a decision for Christ, something you just come to and put on and I just go my way now, or is it a work of the Spirit? You see, true salvation, my friend, is a work of the Spirit in your life. It is a work of the Spirit of God in your life. It's not something that you just came to and joined Jesus like you joined a church. See? And Jesus knew that in the Gospels. It says in John chapter 2, now when Jesus was at Jerusalem at the Passover, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. Many saw his power, his miracles, and they believed on him, and you and I would rejoice. You know, people say today, we want to see the miracles again, Pastor. We want to see, listen, I do too, don't get me wrong. We want to see a manifestation and display of the great power of God, even in our church services, amen? But many, upon seeing the miracles, believed on his name, and you would say, well, that's good enough for me. Well, it wasn't good enough for Jesus. Jesus said that there was a multitude that believed on him after they saw a demonstration of his miracle power. And he would not commit himself unto them. You know, that's interesting. It would seem cruel. These are people are believing on him. They're believing on his name. Isn't that how we get saved? Well, yes and no. You got to understand there's a difference of the motive of the heart. Why did you come to him to begin with? Why do men come to him? Just because they see he's popular? Because they see miracles and power? Because it's the going thing? People will come to the Lord for many different varied reasons. At least their approach to God. But here we're told in the scripture that many believed on him and he would not commit to them. Why? Because Jesus wants to first wash you and I from our sin. Jesus isn't looking to be popular in the world. He's not looking to be the going thing. He doesn't care about being a superhero in the eyes of men because of his great power and great display of his great ability. He comes one at a time, knocks at that heart's door, and wants to conquer that life and that heart because of their original condition of sin. Amen. He wants to deal with the sin issue first. Amen. And that's what he did with me 30 years ago. Listen, I grew up thinking I was a Christian. I grew up, if you said, are you saved? I would have said, of course. Like the gal that was the secretary that told me I need to receive Jesus Christ. I thought, I'm as saved as you are. But I was lost. Looking back and understanding now, I was not saved and born again. I had a philosophy of Christianity. I believed my own way, but that was not saving faith. When it's saving faith is when the change happens in your heart and in your spirit. And when Christ comes in, he is precious unto you. Your whole life begins to be centered around him. Your life changes for the good. All of a sudden, you love him. You adore him. You worship him. You'll wash his feet with your tears and your hair if you had the chance. Well, I don't know, Pastor. I don't believe that. Then you don't know him. Jesus becomes your life's passion, your life's pursuit. You live for him. Paul said it this way, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Listen, my friend, I tell you what, we can grow cold in the Lord, but initially there should have been a fire ignited from the altar of God. When you and I have received him, there is a love and a passion for the Son of God. There is a love for Jesus Christ. I said, Jesus Christ. I didn't say church life. I said, Jesus Christ. Amen? He would not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. He knew their hearts. They weren't coming to him just like in John 6. Many followed him because he fed them dinner. Many followed Jesus for what they think they can get out of him. God will love the world. He loves every individual. But that doesn't mean he accepts every individual as far as salvation is concerned. He accepts men and women based upon their receiving of Jesus Christ and believing on him for the personal condition of personal sin. He has to be our Savior first before he can be our blesser. Come unto me, come unto me, come unto me, Jesus said. You see, Jesus said it this way, many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out devils in your name? Have we not done many wonderful works? I will profess then unto them that I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Jesus here is saying there's going to be many on that day going to say, Lord, hey, Lord, 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 I went to church. Lord, I read my Bible. Lord, I sang the hymns. I showed up, I gave to your work, I even started a ministry in your name, I fed the poor. I didn't know you. You didn't let me cleanse you as Savior. You didn't come to know me. You didn't come unto me that I could give you rest. You came with mixed motives. You came because you were trying to get something out of me. The first thing I want to do is save you. I want to save you from your sin. That's why I hung on the cross for you, Jesus would say. I died. I suffered. I was beat. I took your judgment. I want to deal with your sin issue first. I want to save you from your original condition of original sin that you and I can have fellowship together, that we can walk together, that we can know each other. Amen. He said, but I didn't know you. And so he said, depart from me, you that work iniquity. But
We're not done. You see, lip service is not heart service. Jesus said, because of men's tradition, this people draw near unto me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. That's where I was as a teenager growing up. I honored him with my lips. I had the right profession. I believe. I'm a Christian. I believe on Jesus. I believe he died for my sins. Amen. But it was lip service. My heart was a million miles from God. If our whole experience with Jesus Christ is 1 hour on a Sunday morning, that's when I think about God, we've missed the whole thing. I have found with the indwelling Savior, being born again, born of the Spirit, I'm always God conscious. Even at work, even when I'm under the burden of the day, I'm at least God conscious. When you're born of God, you will be God conscious. What does that mean? It means I'm aware of him all the time. I'm communing with him all the time. We talked about this in men's fellowship yesterday. We were talking about this whole thing about, you know, prayer. And to pray without ceasing is really to be in constant, just a constant communion with the Lord in your heart. I'm always musing in the Lord, talking to the Lord under my breath, in my spirit, communing. That's what Paul meant pray without ceasing. He's not saying get on your knees and shut away. My God, you got to work a job. You got to take care of the kids. You got to feed your family. You got responsibilities. He's not saying about be stuck in a prayer meeting all the time. Some churches have interpreted it that way, put yokes on men they weren't meant to bear. It just means be in communion with the one who lives in you. Come unto him, and I will give you rest. Do you have rest in Jesus this morning? Do you know him? Has he accepted you? Because the evidence will be if you're birthed of God or not. And friend, if you've been birthed of God, he's yours. And the good news, he will never leave you. 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 Amen. We got to beware of lip service, not heart service. Now, Jesus would also be said this way. We got to understand, to come to Jesus is to be washed by him. It says, he rose from supper, and he laid aside his garments, and he took a towel, and he began to wash his disciples' feet. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Oh, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus said unto him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Prior to his going to the cross, the disciples are there, they're eating the Last Supper. Jesus lays aside his garments, takes up his towel, and one by one begins to wash the feet of his disciples. Peter struggling with this concept. Lord, no. Don't wash me. Well, then if you do, wash all of me. And then he said, Lord, be far from you. Don't wash my feet. And then Jesus says to Peter, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. What does that mean this morning? It simply means this. When you've come to Jesus, he's the one who washed you. And if you don't let him wash you, you have no part with him. You know what some of us need? A washing. Some of us just need to be washed. We just need a washing in our heart, in our spirit. What was that meaning back then? You see, they were saved. Jesus made that clear. You don't have to be all washed, but your feet get dirty, and that speaks of your daily walk with the Lord. They wore sandals back then. They didn't have paved roads. It was the tradition of whatever household you went to, they would provide a towel with some water, and the servant would wash the dust off your feet before you entered into that house. We get dirty in this life. We get tainted with things, pressures, problems, bombarded with evil things at times. Our mind can get corrupt. What's he talking about? In this walk in this world, come ye unto me, and I will give you rest. But even in that, my feet need a daily washing. I need a daily cleansing by the Lord. If I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Has he washed you today? Has he washed you yesterday? Has he washed you as I speak? Will he wash you tomorrow? I'm convinced of this. The reason we have so many emotional problems in the body of Christ is because we're not letting him wash us. And we're bearing the burden of the day. We're not flushing ourselves clean from the residue and the soot of living in this evil world. Amen. And we're losing peace with God. Amen. See, to come to Jesus is to come and be washed. Wash me, Lord, and I'll be clean. Wash you, make you clean, put away your evil doings from my eyes, it says in Isaiah. And though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Amen. See, to come to Jesus is to be washed. To come to Jesus is also to fall upon him. The Word of God says, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. So whosoever shall fall upon this rock shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Listen, 30 years ago, my salvation experience, spiritually speaking, I fell on him. And I was broken. He's the stone which the builders rejected. If that stone falls on us, it'll grind us to powder. But if we've come unto him and find rest, it will break us. But it's a needed brokenness. I believe with all my heart, any man or woman that has truly been born again has been broken. Broken from our own stubbornnesses, broken from our own sin, broken from our own will, our own direction, our own concepts. And if we have people that we know that go by the name of Jesus Christ, doing their own thing, living their own life, calling their own shots, running their own course, they have not been born again. They have not fallen on that rock, because my Bible says whoever falls on that rock will be broken. But it's a good brokenness. It's a brokenness that says, nevertheless, Lord, thy will be done. Not mine, but thine will be done. Are we seeking his will for our life? The broken will do that. The broken will look to him. Because the broken are broken. They need help. Hallelujah. Let's finish this up a little bit. Oh, it's quiet in here today. To come to Jesus is to fall on him. To come to Jesus is to be washed by him. To come to Jesus now is to eat of him. Except you eat of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you have no life in you. Jesus was talking about him being the living bread. The believer lives from Christ as a life source. He wasn't talking about communion. He wasn't talking about cannibalism. He was talking about, spiritually speaking, your source. I am to be your source of life. Amen? And when Christ is you're my source of life, I'm not on the psychiatric couch getting medicated. I got a life source. I've been broken. I'm washed. I've come to him and I've taken up his yoke. His burden is light. I've come to the one who is meek and lowly in heart and who loves me. Amen. Amen. Let's wake up. Amen. Glory. That's good news. Amen. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean we're condemned. We're condemned if we don't know the Savior. But Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that heavy labor, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. My Lord, to come to Jesus is to be washed. Come to Jesus is to fall upon him. To come to Jesus is to eat of him. I just said it a moment ago. To be born of God is to be God conscious.
There's always that hunger for the things of God, that hunger for His Word, that hunger for His fellowship, hunger for His touch, hunger for His love, hunger for His mercy, hunger to know Him. And friend, we are going nowhere as an individual and as a body of Christ if we're not born of God, love Him, love the Word, love the Holy Spirit, love the Godhead, amen? Love holiness, love righteousness, love purity. We can't have half a gospel. I understand imputed righteousness, but if He's in me and in you, I'm crucified with Him. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it's Christ that lives in me. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. To come to Him is to be washed by Him. To come to Him is to fall on Him. To come to Him is to eat of Him. But to come to Him is to be humbled by Him. It would say this in Luke, I think it's chapter 18, Jesus' words. He said, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. If I've been washed, if I've fallen on Him and been broken, amen? If I'm eating of Him, I'm depending on Him. And except you be converted. Boy, that's a word we don't hear much anymore. Have you been converted? You know why we don't like that word no more? Because there's very few people in Christendom today that have been born of God, born of the Spirit. We got a lot of Nicodemuses coming to the house of God today in this land. They come and they'll acknowledge, yeah, Jesus, He's a teacher come from God. He's got good things to say. But they're coming to a philosophy of Christianity, not to Jesus. Amen? They're embracing teachings. They're embracing that He's a good guy. Even the Muslims will say that Jesus was a good man. He was a prophet. And like I told one Muslim, Liz was there. We were in a little conversation in a living room. I said, if Jesus, you say He was a prophet, this prophet claimed He was God. I thought prophets can't lie to be a prophet. He didn't know what to say. Have you been humbled? Have you approached Him as a child? Paul would even say in Romans 8, Abba, Father, my daddy. He's my dad. You know, a child is just dependent on that parent. That child don't carry the burdens of your finances, the burdens of your social issues. I mean, at least they shouldn't. Amen? That child just enjoys being your son, being your daughter. Just like that grandchild just enjoys being your granddaughter, your grandson. And they'll bebop and bounce around and they're happy and they're just taking life in stride. And because, you know, there's a trust in that parent. That parent's going to provide everything they need. That's the point Jesus was making. When you've come unto Him, when you're born of God, when you know Jesus Christ, when you're walking with Him, when you've been washed by Him, cleansed by Him, broken by Him, there's a dependence on Him. I depend on Him for everything. Without Him, I can do nothing. I can do nothing. Hallelujah. To come to Jesus is to take up His cross and follow Him. Jesus said, if a man come to me, take up his cross. What is the cross? Look to what He's accomplished for you. Learn of Him. He's meek and lowly. Learn what He did for you at Calvary, that you can have a victorious life, that God's grace can be available to you, and you can function in the grace of God. Amen. And to come to Jesus, last point, is to love Him. It says this,
If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keeps not my sayings. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. Think about that this morning. If a man love me and keep my words, my Father will love him. And we, God the Father, God the Son, will make our abode in that life. Amen. But he that doesn't love me doesn't keep my words. These are the little things that never seem to get preached on in the Scriptures. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Have you come unto him? Have you come to him? Does he live in you? Are you born of God? Are you saved? My hope is built, on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Hallelujah. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Oh, when he shall come in trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before his throne. Sing it with me now. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. That's our hope. That's our answer. Do you love him this morning? Hallelujah.